Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
You know, the weird thing is that you listen to that intro, and there's a bunch of notable professional wrestling personalities that are on there, and we've talked to all of them, except for Howard Finkel and Zack Ryder.
Yeah, well, I mean,
well,
we met
we technically Ryder. Talked to
well,
them.
Well, yeah, but they haven't been on the show.
Right,
everybody else
right.
has been on the show.
Yeah.
And Ryder, that's weird.
Ryder was great because we saw Zack Ryder walking around in California WrestleMania 31 weekend, and we just went up to him like, Zack, will you? We talked to him for a minute or two.
Yeah.
He was nice enough. And, you know, he go, you do a bump where you say, you're listening to the New Age Insiders. He goes, sure. And then he does it. And I go, will you do it again? But will you say woo, woo, woo? And just the look of the defeat.
Just
like, and he just goes, yeah. It's like, that's who you are.
And
it's,
at the end of that cut, he goes, he told me to say this.
Yeah, well, I did. Because, you know.
You're Zack Ryder.
Dance monkey.
You know
Zack
I mean?
Ryder. That's just dance monkey. So there's plenty to talk about tonight. There is and there isn't. It's like there's both a lot going on and nothing particularly pressing.
Right.
And I'm happy about that because it's one of the reasons is because there's not a pay-per-view every 2.5 minutes. And so the next one's like a month away. And so that's nice. But
it's going to be a jam-packed weekend because Dominion is, I think, the same weekend as Money in the Bank.
Can't wait for that. Jericho's just dropping F-bombs, and it's going to be him and Naito, and it's going to take over the world. It's going to be great.
And Kenny Omega's finally going to capture the New Japan Heavyweight Championship?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't know. I don't follow the TV enough to know what the hell's going on. I'm just really looking forward to the matches.
2 out of 3 falls.
I know that.
No time limit.
Yeah, no, I know that, and I know that Naito and Jericho are going to do their thing, and that'll be great, as Chris Jericho continues to reinvent himself at like 48 years old. But today is a somber day for wrestling fans everywhere, really, no matter what your level of fandom is, for the late, great Owen Hart. It's a somber day. Like I said, 19 years ago today was WWF Over the Edge. I remember I didn't get the pay-per-view. Like, I didn't order it because pay-per-views in 1999. So I spent most of 1999 being 12. And so pay-per-views were a big special deal kind of thing. Like, I tricked my parents into getting WrestleMania every year. But, you know, the pay-per-views, other than that, who knew if I was going to see it or not. So I didn't get Over the Edge 99. I remember the internet was like just starting to get its act together, like wrestling wise.
Like AIM was only the thing that was going on.
Yep. And the wrestling website that I still go to, and they follow us, and it's just nice to have a conversation with somebody that is one of your heroes. But NoDQ.com, they used to be called TheMayhem.com.
Oh, wow.
For those of you who are the oldest of school fans. So I remember going on TheMayhem.com because I don't remember what happened. I don't know if I got said AIM. This was before text messaging because everything is old and I'm old and everything's new and scary. But I don't remember where I heard it first. I think it might have been an AI, an instant message from my friend Paul, who did get most of the pay-per-views because he was a big nut too. And then I remember being like, Owen Hart's dead. And I'm like, oh, what a weird story or whatever. And there was like, no, Owen Hart like died. Like JR just said he died. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what to think. And then I went on themayhem.com that turned into NoDQ. And then, yeah, it was breaking. Owen Hart dead. And it was like, oh, he died. And I remember, like everybody else, obviously, because I'm a human being incredibly sad and surprised and disoriented. And I also, I don't rewrite history with myself and pretend to be bigger fans of people than I'm not. Like, I was never a big Owen Hart guy. So when he died, like, obviously, as a human, I was like, oh, my God, what a tragedy. This is terrible. But it didn't hit me like one of my favorite wrestlers died.
Yeah.
But the thing
like if
that,
Goldberg died, you'd be inconsolable.
Well, especially, you know, and I guess now's as good a time to talk about it as any. One of the things that really you see get talked about here, and Brett's talked about it a lot, and before his death, Davey Boy talked about it a lot, is just, you want to talk about senseless, stupid, needless, any adjective that falls into the category of just senselessly dumb is the story of Owen Hart's death. Because what you did was the relationship changed in 97 when you fucked over his brother, right? And you made the locker room decide whether or not you were going to work there or not. But or not did not mean just go to WCW. Or not just meant I own your contract and you can sit on your ass for 2 years. I can't stop you. And one of the big rumors going around was that Owen was going to go to WCW and join his brother and wrap up his career there, get one last big payday. And basically, he was as furious as anyone of what happened at Survivor Series. And so, you know, 2 years later, don't get me wrong, a year and a half, 2 years later, but he was finally free and he was going to go. And so the story goes is that they just were going to embarrass him out the door. They didn't care about him at all anymore. The Blue Blazer was an actual joke. He was supposed to be like think if the Hurricane was taken less seriously.
Right.
Was the Blue Blazer.
Yeah, and it was just a character that had been coming and going throughout WWE and was always a joke.
Exactly.
You know, it was whoever needed to job out. You know, you see this a lot in independent promotions where they'll throw a mask on somebody because they don't have enough wrestlers, but they need somebody to job real quick.
Yep.
So somebody will pull double duty and be the joke character.
And you know, the story of what we were doing was that he's a superhero, but he's like a bumbling, stumbling one. Like, basically, what if we made a superhero movie with Kevin James?
Yeah.
And seriously.
That's accurate.
And then they go, well, what we're going to do is we'll...
Sting's popular.
We'll propel it. We'll drop him from the ceiling, but it was supposed to, like, drop him about, like, 6 feet above the ring and then let go, so he couldn't even do that right. Blah. So it was a cable, but it was also designed to break. It was just designed to break
later,
6 feet above the ring.
I don't think it was designed to break. I think he was supposed to. It was supposed to be easy for him to unhook it.
Right. Well, there's a way, like with Stings, right? Stings was just a harness that he like unhooked and it ziplined up. Like this one was not going to get him all the way down.
Yeah, he was always going to drop so many feet.
Right, and he had to like
unhook himself
exactly and. It also sounds like they didn't do what I'm most shocked about, that the World Wrestling Federation in 1999, when they had began to print their own money, didn't bring in, like, the top rigger in the world and didn't bring in, like, the number one, like, whoever Barnum and Bailey uses for their stuff.
Right.
They didn't bring in...
Some top Hollywood stuntman.
Right. If we're going to flipping do this, then let's at least make sure that we're doing this stupid thing right. And the crazy thing is, again, it just there's no end to the adjectives that can be used to define its stupidity because it's like the big payoff here was that Owen Hart was going to propel from the rafters and then like fall. And then I think he was going to like lose to Gold Dust or something.
I thought he was wrestling for the Intercontinental title.
It might have been
D'Lo. The Godfather.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Sure. Great. Nobody would have remembered.
Yeah, no, nobody would have remembered. Look, it would have. I also think that the bit would have been funny if executed. Right? Like, you know, not like knee slapping all time funny, but in a show, it would have been humorous.
Yeah.
So I don't fault the idea of the stunt, but I'm like, I do agree with you that I think that it's stupid that you didn't put the A effort into it.
Yep.
Because if you put the A effort into it, he wouldn't be dead.
Right. And that's a big part of it too. And you know, like, I understand that, like, that it might have been pretty funny. Or the irony here is that it wouldn't have made, most of it wouldn't have even made TV.
Right.
They got a break because I think the story is somebody's promo went long, so they ran into the Twix commercial, whoever the sponsor was for Over the Edge, and so they were about 30 seconds off schedule.
Right.
And he died off camera.
Right.
Because, you know, this is before everybody had a high-def camera in their pocket. This is before even, like, Nokia bricks. Nobody, you were in the building.
Or you didn't see it.
Or you didn't see it, which is a huge blessing in disguise, or just blessing, I think, in general, because, like, yeah, this guy didn't die in front of a couple million people like he could have, because it sounds like it just would have been gruesome. I mean, he hit his head off the turnbuckle, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, and it's so dumb, because, like, this, to me, would have been, like, and there's no perfect parallels, but it's like, this would have been like if you're like, you know what? We have officially given up on Cesaro. Everybody likes him. He won a little. Everybody wants him to do more. We're not going to do it. And so we're going to make Cesaro, who
literally Swiss Superman.
Exactly. And have his gimmick be to fall down and be embarrassing. Yeah. And it's just like, look, even if you're not a Cesaro guy, can we all agree it's a poor use of the talent?
Yeah.
And so for me, I wasn't an Owen Hart guy, but I always knew that it was a poor use of the talent. I was also 12 years old and still in full acceptable Mark mode because he was a heel most of my experience in the company.
Yeah.
And so I didn't like the heels. Yeah. Not that I was psyched when he died. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you that it hit me. But it hit me like one of the bad guys died. So, it, you know, I think,
right,
I think if it was like a baby,
yeah.
if Owen Hart had been a babyface my whole career, I probably would have cried because I was 12 and a mark. You know what I
mean? You know, it's funny because retroactively, because by this time, and I had that weird thing. You know how everybody talked about how Sinbad was in a genie movie?
Yeah.
And that didn't happen?
It's called the Mandela Theory.
Right. So I had that with this because I was convinced that I was watching a WCW pay-per-view at the time.
Yeah.
And that's how I heard, because I didn't watch Over the Edge.
You might have found out on Nitro, because Nitro was an hour before Raw.
Yeah, maybe.
So their commentary team might have broke it to you.
Maybe. But I never watched Owen Hart because I was so entrenched in WCW at that time.
Right.
But retroactively, I will tell you, I do enjoy Owen Hart more than Brett.
Yeah, well, and I understand he had more personality.
He had far more personality.
And it was Owen Hart was really good at the role they gave him, which was you are going to be the jealous little brother.
Yeah.
Right?
And
in a family where Brett is the kid, I mean, like, we don't know what it would look like or whatever, because what if John Cena had a brother?
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And how would we book that when this dude is the king? You know what I mean? And you're also named Cena. You know what I mean?
Right.
And trying to find your way in this world kind of idea. And it was a very unique opportunity they had. They told it well. You know, the Hart family is a unique thing because, you know, like, so Davey Boy married in and Neidhart married in and Owen and Brett are Harts and Lance Storm married in. Isn't Lance Storm married to a Hart sister?
I believe so.
Something like that. And so they're just a unique situation unto themselves. But yeah, what Owen Hart did great was especially, I mean, it's almost bittersweet because he's remembered for the thing I think Owen Hart's remembered for most is a blooper. But when Owen Hart did try to kick Bret Hart's leg out of his leg, which was that era, he was really good at what they asked him to do. And I'm almost a little surprised he didn't wind up getting over on Bret in a bigger way once. Because a weird little foot, I mean, if you want to talk about Owen Hart's career in a nutshell, WrestleMania 10.
Right.
He has the match of the night. He beats Brett, and later that night, Bret Hart became the champion.
Right.
You know what
I
mean?
It's really weird. Yeah, this is also a little bit, you know, obviously not to the same extreme, but I feel like it's kind of the Roman Reigns effect, right? Where it's like Vince decided that Brett was the guy.
Yeah.
And even though there was some popularity, you know, we've seen it before, right? We've seen it with Cena. We saw it with Hogan the year prior.
Yep.
And it's the fact that he sometimes puts too much emphasis on his guy.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I think Owen just lost out on that because of it.
There's always going to be opinions with these things, and it's always, like I said,
oh, good, it worked.
The tip thing?
Well, yeah, somebody just subscribed.
Oh, yay.
And
Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders.
Yeah, GA WrestleNut subscribed.
Yay,
so, so a little thing popped up.
Yay.
And if you subscribe or if you donate, a little thing will happen, and there'll be audio, and it'll be fun.
Yay. And again, it's going to be a matter of opinion to each their own, right? I do think that evaluating them as I do or whatever, I do think that Brett was the talent. And I do think that Brett,
sure,
of the two of them, was the one that I can sell a lot easier. Simply, if nothing else, because it's not, he didn't do it every time. But, like, the biggest promo we ever asked him to cut was when he betrayed Bret Hart and was like, I'm coming for you, brother. And he told Bret that he was going to kick his leg out of his leg.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Now, did Hulk Hogan also once have the world's toughest time saying, do you just think I was the right guy at the right time? Right? To the one point where Vince, remember that thing on SmackDown? It's the funniest thing in the world. Because SmackDown was...
I know I watched it, but I don't remember it.
So SmackDown was taped, so Hogan could just keep doing it. But you can find the whole thing, because I don't even think they bailed him out and cut it up. So it's Hogan. It's the Hogan and McMahon in that they're building
right
their Mania
before
match.
Before Mr. America,
they're building to their Mania match, and the story is clearly Vince McMahon goes, "I created Hulk Hogan," and Hulk Hogan goes, "The hell you did! I created Hulk Hogan." Right, very simple stuff, and it's worth YouTubing. It sincerely is, and honestly, if you could find it even now, Hogan just can't say, do you really think I was the right guy at the right time? He keeps saying, if you just think I was the place at the right guy, McMahon, and again, it's because it's tape, so he just keeps going, you know, like, take two, right? And he just goes, if you just think I was the guy with the... And at one point, he literally goes, if you just think I was the gay guy, he literally says that.
Oh,
and if you
God.
Just think I was the gay guy, and it's, and like McMahon won't even let it off the hook. He's like, yeah, you're really, really making my point, Hogan. And so like Hulk Hogan had that promo too, okay? But not most of the time. And so Brett, as dry as it was, got through it a lot better.
Yeah.
But when here's the thing I want to talk about with Owen Hart. Because it doesn't have to be about Owen this time. This is just sort of a matter of, like, personal ethics, I think.
Right.
The show went on.
Yeah.
And I think it happened about halfway through. And so about half of the show, probably an hour and a half or so, went on.
Yeah.
After he died in that ring where they worked around a blood stain that was the scene of his death.
Yeah.
The guys saw them wheel his dead body through the locker room.
Right. They said he was alive, but I don't think so.
Right. Well, they were literally performing CPR to a dead body.
Yeah.
He was dead before they took him out of the ring. And so what do you think of them going with the show must go on?
I do believe in the show must go on. Oof. I think that unfortunately, this is going to sound terrible, and I'm going to just, let me explain after, but this isn't event disrupting.
The death of a man in the middle of
the
show?
The death of one man?
Can you think of any other live event that would have continued?
If
an ice dancer got their throat run over by their partner, you know, with an ice skate.
Yeah.
We're done for the day, right?
Right.
If somebody falls from the flying trapeze, don't we? No, we're not really. The lion tamer seems to lose a lot of his spark. Don't we?
Yeah.
Can you
yeah.
think of any? And I'm not putting down. Can you think of any other live event?
The frank answer is I don't know.
So let me ask you this.
I don't
so,
know because what the only thing that I can come close to is Spider-Man turn off the dark. And that's when a Spider-Man went down with an injury mid-show, and he had to be replaced mid-show.
But he didn't die, right?
But he didn't die.
A theater full of people didn't watch him die.
Right, and so that's the closest thing that I can think of.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. Let's say the next UFC.
Right.
Somebody right in the middle of the show just gets their neck broken and dies. And you know, during the show, like Joe Rogan goes, he died.
Yeah.
Would UFC keep it going?
I think they would.
I think they probably would too.
I think, but
should they?
This is, I guess, the weird part is, yeah, he fell. Yes, there was blood. Yes, it looks bad, but you can fake it for the audience that they were getting him to the hospital. And at least, if I remember correctly, they said he died at the hospital. Now, again, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, they pronounced him dead.
They pronounced him dead at the hospital. So yeah. I think it would be similar. Like, it would have to be, it would have to be something like mangling, where it's just like, oh, this person got decapitated.
I mean, he did. He just, you know, he did. It's just he his head didn't come all the way off, but I mean, it was severed from his body. I mean, he.
Yeah.
I just got to think the difference might just be 10 years. That happened in 1999.
Right.
It happened in 2009, where a bunch of people got it on film and a bunch of people know, like, immediately. Like, the crowd would know instantly because they go on Twitter and they go, he's dead. No, seriously. You tell your section, he tells their section.
It
takes 2 minutes. And so then would they have canceled the show? If they had, if everybody there,
maybe
I think it's more likely,
maybe
because I don't think how do you ask your crowd to get up for even Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oh yeah,
because Vince and Kevin Dunn in the back know full well that didn't get on the broadcast.
Yeah, well, and because we came back to JR looking like he saw a ghost,
right?
Yeah, right.
And then just being like, look, this is real. This is not part of the show. It's the first time I ever heard anybody in wrestling during the show try to tell me that it was a show,
right?
Right, and that it wasn't, and this wasn't part of it. And I think that the reason that the show went on was just, unfortunately, all the wrong reasons. Because here's the thing. I never had the pleasure of meeting Owen Hart, and now I never will, whilst I grasp this mortal coil. And so...
Oh, so artistic.
I don't know this, but I know what his brother has said, which is Brett would not have wanted the Owen would not have wanted the show to go on. Brett did not want the show to go on. A lot of people in the locker room thought it was a poor taste for the show to go on. I do not believe the show went on because that's what Owen would have wanted.
Yeah, no.
It was 1999. We're still in a ratings war. I can't cancel this half of the show. I will not refund 100,000 people and 20,000 in the building. I will not refund $5 million today. I will not do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I can't.
Right, exactly.
Because I can't.
Maybe refunding Over the Edge 99 puts them in a scary place. Maybe. But they weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
And again, I don't vilify them for it.
No.
But I can just, for the life of me, not believe that was the right decision to keep it going. Because, you know, I just think the whole thing's a wash, right? I mean, Steve Austin's in the main event of Over the Edge, I think.
Oh, well, Over the Edge is the definition of a B pay-per-view.
Right, exactly. And so it's just, this didn't happen at the Rumble where it's like, shit, we got to do the Rumble.
This isn't even, this isn't even, like, this is Over the Edge 99. I had to look this up because, again, I thought I was watching Hog Wild when this happened.
Yeah.
And
I bet you found out on Nitro.
You're probably right. But this was the pay-per-view after the pay-per-view of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So this is inconsequential because we're either going to start new stuff the next night to start kicking off to the King of the Ring or to the SummerSlam. But either way, this show is so inconsequential that it's like, maybe we should have called it.
Yeah, maybe. Because again, it's not even like he hit, you know, and you can think of 1,000 different scenarios.
Yeah.
He didn't get hit by a car on the way to the stadium. He didn't fall in the back. You know, you asked those guys, and I also understand that they were all told they didn't have to work if they didn't want to. But here's the thing. It's almost like, you know, it's 1999 in the World Wrestling Federation, right? Shy of Steve Austin and The Undertaker, your spot is probably not guaranteed. So if you have a shot, if you have a match on a pay-per-view and Vince goes, you don't have to go out there, I think that's far less of a choice than it actually sounds like. Because you're asking those human beings to go out there, and he died where you're about to go to work.
Yeah,
like,
right
there. That pool of blood over there, that dried patch of blood
is
his brains where he died. And I mean, again, I don't vilify them, but if you want to talk about the ruthless businessman that is Vince McMahon, that's a prime example to me that it's just like, we're not done here. And if how many people were in that building? 15,000, 16,000 people?
Yeah.
They just watched a dude die, whether they even know it or not yet.
Right. Well, and I think that that plays a huge part of it too. I think timing. because I do think that even 5 years, right? We're talking 2005, 2004, you know, maybe a little bit more, you know, but definitely 10 years.
Definitely 10.
That is up that right then.
Yeah.
It boom, it's up, it's there.
Yep.
You know, one, WWF E is far better at their television,
yep,
and likely would have caught it.
Yeah.
You know, and
then everybody would have saw somebody moving around up there, got their cameras out to see what he's going to do.
Right. And there would have been cameras, whether it was point and shoot cameras or a crude cell phone video.
Yeah, exactly. Something like by 2009, the iPhone was out.
Yeah.
So by 2009,
yeah,
people in that building would have had a video of it.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't have been able to instantly share it because that wasn't really a thing at that point.
It's semantics, but in 2009, you could have had an iPhone and Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
And got it right up there.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they were all in infantile, and I don't think they had video capability at that point, but the point's still the same.
It is.
You would have been able to share the content. Maybe not instantaneously.
Right.
But you would have been able to share the content when you got home.
Yep.
And that's different.
What is Owen Hart's legacy, you think, and what's... Obviously, the big question is, when does he get in the Hall of Fame? I think it's an asinine conversation to talk about his credentials at this point. If guys like Mark Henry and Jeff Jarrett can stand up and take time out of their speeches to say this is the right thing to do, then to me, who am I? And he does belong in there.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. I mean, just go for it.
When do we do it? My only credential really for the Hall of Fame is I have to remember who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a fake sport with fake stats.
Yeah, no,
he's
so important to the fans, and it's one of those things, like, to me, it's like Roberto Clemente. Roberto Clemente, they waived the 5-year thing. Roberto Clemente died, and they put him in. Because he was a humanitarian, he died
helping
people.
Right.
And they go, we're not even going to wait 5 years.
Sure.
We're all good, right? Clemente's in, and they put him in. With Owen Hart, he's one of those guys where it's like, look, again, I'm sure there are people there with far less impressive resumes too. I always have the conversation in my head with, are you a Hall of Famer if you never won the World Wrestling Federation Championship? And there are definitely people that belong in there. Jake the Snake never won anything. You know what I mean? Roddy Piper,
right.
Of course. Scott Hall. There's easy ones.
Right, because again, you remember those guys, and that's where that falls very important to me.
Those are, and it's true. And they're easy guys. And so with Owen Hart, I look at it and I go, well, yeah, he didn't win the WWF title. Interesting footnote. He did win the World Wrestling Federation Championship at a house show and was stripped and stricken from the records. But there is a picture of him at a house show holding up his WWF title.
Oh, good for him.
But it's not, doesn't count.
Yeah, right. It's like Andre.
But yeah, he belongs in just because so many people want it. And here's my, I don't know if it's an unpopular opinion or if it's just like, this is just kind of who I am as a human being. If legally Martha Hart has no legal way to stop me,
I'd do it.
Sorry, Martha. You've had 20 years. This isn't your story to tell alone. This isn't your prize to... This isn't... You don't get to keep him. He's not yours. And look, if she can somehow make my life miserable through litigation and somehow she owns the rights to his name or something, something, something... then okay, I don't want to go through a lawsuit over it. It'll really taint the whole thing. But if she can't and it would just be...
You're mad?
The widow would prefer you not. Well, his brother would prefer I do. His friends would prefer I do. And again, with all the respect in the world, you don't own him. You don't get to keep him. You don't get jurisdiction over Brett to me.
Yeah, well, the other one too is the fan base hasn't gotten... to really say goodbye, right?
We don't talk about Owen Hart.
We don't talk about Owen Hart. We don't get to celebrate Owen Hart.
Right.
And even if it's just for that window of January 2000 whatever to April 8th 2000 whatever, and we don't ever talk about him before or after, but we just get those 3 months to celebrate the life and career of that man, he deserves it.
Yeah, it feels to me tremendously like Randy Savage.
Right.
Where it's like, not that the Hall of Fame is not a Hall of Fame without him.
Yeah, that's
stupid. A little much. But with Randy Savage, it was just like, it's almost like we're not allowed to talk about him at all. Then Savage gets in, even posthumously, and it's like, Randy Savage was a thing. We're making t-shirts again. I mean, he died, and so we'll never really, really know. But don't you think they were prepared for the Ultimate Warrior to be, like, back? You know what I mean? Like, the Ultimate Warrior spent, like, 15 years just, who? You know what I mean?
Right. And he was going to, I would say he would have captained a Survivor Series team. Not in the ring, but that, like, Hogan and Warrior both have a Survivor Series team.
Right.
Like, that would have happened at some point.
Like, I think that we were one, because he got in, I mean, we could have done it that year because it was his year. But, I mean, we were probably going to get a Hogan Warrior stare down to open a Mania because the Ultimate Challenge kind of thing. You know what I mean? And just use these guys.
Right.
But the feeling I got, and you know, the merchandise boom and just everything about him, when he was back, now the Ultimate Warrior, it's like you never left. And with Owen Hart, I feel like he's got that situation going now too, which is like, you are not blackballed, but you're almost this weird ghost that we're not allowed to talk about. And I feel like if he got in the Hall of Fame, he would be back. All the history kind of, it's like the end of Beauty and the Beast, where everything goes back to normal. And Owen Hart's places in history get filled back in. And we're allowed to talk about all this great stuff. And like, you know, I think you're missing out on an amazing Hall of Fame speech from Brett. And I just think it's a moment that like...
Well, and you know, you ruined... You'd get back two lives. Because I think that it would do a lot for the ghost of Bret Hart.
Yeah, right, yeah. The guy that's the living ghost that's walking around. He would also do something great for his children. Because, like, look at...
that. I was just about to bring that up, is look at what Goldberg went through this past year.
Yep.
And how this wasn't about Bill Goldberg. It was about showing his son how important his father was.
Yep.
And I think that the WWE did a great job of showing that kid how big a deal his father was. And it's the same thing for Owen Hart, where Owen's kids also deserve to know how big a deal their father was.
And here's the thing, like, they're, and rightfully so, but Martha and maybe even the kids, I don't know, but they're mad at wrestling.
Yeah.
They're mad that wrestling took their father and husband away. And God bless you. You're right. I get it.
Yeah.
But maybe you would see that Owen Hart didn't hate wrestling. And what you've done is you hate wrestling so much that it killed your husband and you hate it, right? Well, maybe if you could wrap your mind around wrestling, not hating wrestling, hating Vince Russo, hating Vince McMahon, hating the bungee guy, but not hating wrestling will give you peace of all of basically your husband's entire life. You know what I mean? He probably was in the dungeon at 5 years old. And so if you
that sounds weird.
Yeah, well, his father's dungeon. But if you make peace with wrestling, you might by default make a lot more peace with the whole thing. And here's the other thing, with all due respect to the widow of this man, he didn't hate wrestling. He might have been super mad at Vince, and the ghost of Owen Hart is probably super mad at Vince Russo, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't hate wrestling.
Right.
And so you're taking something away from him and his legacy that isn't your place to take away.
Yeah. I think Mark Henry did a great job
of
talking about it, you know, right in between the, like, third and fourth intermission of Hillbilly Jim's speech.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, but...
I was, like, mad about that.
Yeah. Well, here was the thing. Because I remember Hillbilly Jim, so you qualify for my Hall of Fame, technically.
Do you?
Well, he does.
Do you remember Legends House, or do you remember Hillbilly Jim?
I remember Hillbilly Jim.
Okay.
Not like I ever watched Hillbilly Jim wrestle, but because I just remember hearing that name.
Yeah.
And so, but as soon as I sat through that speech, I don't want you in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So, but... Yeah,
but with Owen Hart, though, it's like, that's how I feel about it. It's like, you have had 20 years to make peace, and if you can't... Man, that sucks. But the rest of us are going to.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Right.
Because he belongs in there somewhere and sometime, and the sooner the better. Because people won't stop. Frankly, people won't shut up about it.
Right.
And every Hall of Fame ceremony, it's like, well, there's Owen. And it's just like, then just do it.
Right.
Just do this thing.
Yeah, let's do Owen so then we can shift it to China.
Yeah.
And then Luna Vachon.
Yeah. And the thing about Luna is Luna's got the zero controversy factor around her.
Right.
Like, Luna's just dead. I don't think they want to keep talking about how many people in wrestling wind up dead.
Yeah, right.
Which is the Luna category.
Right.
When we come back, SmackDown Live is far from dead, and it's worth a lot more money than you probably thought it was.
I know,
a brand new home coming very soon. Is this the rebirth that SmackDown, I think, desperately needs? We'll find out together. The New Age Insiders. Be right back.
Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders. Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
You know the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show is the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
But what if we told you that there's also a show for fans of all kinds to do the same?
That show is Late Night Liam, show hosted by myself, Liam Stryker.
And me, Bill Neville. Join us immediately following NAI Pod every Wednesday as we dive into pop culture, sports, current events, and more.
Can't listen live? No worries. Late Night Liam can be downloaded on demand exclusively on the NAI Network channel. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and all podcast platforms.
Once again, join Late Night Liam live every Wednesday following NAI Pod.
When you and fans of all kinds can connect, discuss, and be heard.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Molotov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
We just watched Hogan try to say I was the right guy at the right time.
Yeah. If you just think I was the right gay guy.
Wait a minute.
Take 4. I got it.
That took place on a SmackDown.
Yep.
And now SmackDown is going to be moving to a new home.
It is. Sounds like fall of 2019.
Yeah.
Is when we'll be getting SmackDown.
So a year and a half.
Moving on its new home.
A year and a half.
So. 5 years, $1 billion. So Dr. Evil put in a bid and he got it.
Yeah, he did.
So I think that the biggest tent poles here to talk about are, sounds like it's moving back to Friday.
Yeah. Yes.
Sounds like they wanted to keep it live, which they absolutely have to do.
Yeah.
And now it's, I'm sure it's happened plenty of times, but this is the first time in a while that Raw and SmackDown are going to be on just completely different channels.
Yeah.
I know that SmackDown used to be on Sci-Fi Network and stuff like that, so it's not the first time they've ever split the
even
load.
Even at the beginning,
UPN.
Too.
Yep.
Yeah, and they've split the load before, so I understand that completely. It's just, this will be interesting to me because this is the first time that they're giving it over to a full-fledged like sports company or a company that's got a sports department.
Yeah.
Because Fox Sports is its own entity, and I just wonder, like, my first question is, how does Fox want to differentiate themselves? Are they going to insist on their own production staff? Are they going to insist on, well, that set looks just like Raw, but I don't want to be Blue Raw because that's on USA? So do they have a new set? Do they have their own commentary team? Do they bring their own cameras? Do they want their own aesthetic? Is this going to be a complete overhaul? Is it just going to be take the show you already have and give it to us?
You have to look at this more like a television show changing networks than a sports brand, because you do see that with sports, right? Where, you know, Tony Romo is calling for CBS, yeah. But
Fox football doesn't look like CBS football.
Right. This is far closer to like American Idol. American Idol moved from Fox to ABC.
Okay.
And not a whole lot has changed, right? There's some minor cosmetic stuff. The venues that they went, like the venue that they were in was smaller, and the set was a little different. But at the end of the day, it was still American Idol.
Sure.
And so, yeah, maybe you end up getting like a different set, but I don't think it's going to be very dramatic. Like, I don't think like all of a sudden the fist through the mirror is coming back.
As much as I'd love that, I don't expect it either. You know? And I think it might be minor changes as well. And I know what you're saying is the difference is with the American Idol is it's not like you can watch American Idol on Mondays on MTV and American Idol with a, you know, like, and then a National Idol on Friday with the same judges or whatever, Ryan Seacrest is still here.
At the end of the day, it's still the same television program, if that makes sense.
I completely get you. It's just the fact that they're splitting the load here.
Yeah, I think if anything, the biggest winner in all of this is going to be the fan base, because I am such a proponent of wrestle fatigue and how long these weeks are when there is a pay-per-view.
Yep.
And when we were doing every other week because everybody got a unique pay-per-view, yep, it was even worse, where it's like, I'm supposed to care Sunday for a pay-per-view, Monday for Raw, Tuesday for SmackDown, Wednesday for NXT. At some point, I got to care about 205 Live, you know? And so it's like...
I still don't.
Nobody does. Nobody does.
I still don't.
But having SmackDown, like, how many times did we, or here's a perfect example. This week, it was a chore to get through Monday Night Raw, right?
Yeah.
And so when Tuesday I have to get back up for more wrestling, I still have the bad taste of Monday Night Raw in my mouth.
Sure.
Right? So I don't necessarily want to get involved in SmackDown. Well, now if I have 3 days before I have to get back up for wrestling, yeah, maybe I'm going to be a little bit more excited.
Yeah, the thing about Friday to me is I think it's a terrible day for wrestling. I just think it, like, I know that the wrestling fans legendarily might not be the coolest guys in school, right? But I got to think that people still have stuff to do on Friday nights. I think that asking people to watch live programming on a Friday night is almost always a mistake.
Yes.
Because I just think that people... that's the night people want to do other things. You know what I mean? If you're going to do a weekday, I just think that Friday is a mistake.
It should be Monday and Thursday.
Exactly. But I think that Fox has scheduling conflicts on Thursday because it's a Thursday night football, and they might have some of that, so there's no way that they're going to be doing that.
That's all on NFL Network and CBS.
Yeah,
right?
It's NFL Network and CBS.
I don't know. I know that Fox Sports, basically this move to Friday for them, the way I saw it, somebody sent me like their schedule, that this would fill out their week. That now Fox, between football and other sports, like the Fox Sports calendar, if they come into Friday, that would kind of like wrap up, fill out the week. So to me, that must have meant that something on Thursday takes priority at least often.
They don't have it has to be UFC?
I don't know. I have no idea if they have a deal with the NHL or something.
UFC just signed a mega deal with the ESPN.
Yeah.
Okay, so then it's not. Yeah, then it might be the NHL. No, because there aren't NHL games on regular Fox.
Yeah, I'm not
this
sure.
is going to be on Fox. So it has to be some sort of like, and I know this isn't the right answer because they're on Sundays, but it's like, it's got to be like the Simpsons are on at 8 or something.
I don't know. I just know that Thursday seemed to be taken.
I don't know when, I don't know which one they have. X Factor or...
But Thursday's the right day. WCW started this with Thunder. WCW was the first major TV company to go, we're going to do twice a week. And although Thunder blew, at least it was on the right day. You had Monday, you took Tuesday and Wednesday off. By Thursday rolled around, you could get a little fix in before the weekend and see you Monday for the real show. And SmackDown, of course, is in no way going to try to feel like the get through to Monday. It's going to be its own thing, especially with Fox backing it up. I just, again, it's a minor note, but I just think asking people to watch TV on a Friday is just a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when they actually sit down, I think that that's early speculation. I think Friday's early speculation. You know, a lot could change in a year and a half. So, you know, let's taper the expectations of where this is going to go and slot out the next 52 weeks of programming.
Sure.
But, you know, yeah, I think ultimately Thursday might be something that could compete with bad Thursday night football games.
Sure. The thing about them moving to Fox, people said right away that, you know, people, and I'm just assuming, because this tends to be the way it goes, that a bunch of people that actually don't like wrestling and probably, like, not only don't like wrestling, but don't like wrestling, said, why would Fox spend all this money for a scripted show and put it on and call it sports, and don't they feel stupid today and all that stuff? And it's just like, no, it's quite the opposite. They just purchased something that they can present to you as sports because it's athletic enough. You know what I mean? Like if you, I mean,
you know, the only people that are saying it's a sport are the people that are saying it's stupid. It's not a real sport.
Right. And I mean, this is like, you know, you watch, I mean, this, I'm sure the outcome's not fixed, but you watch stupid Ninja Warrior, don't you? And all they're doing is jumping around and grabbing stuff and flipping around too. You know what I mean? Right. You think they're the bee's knees and they're the greatest athletes in the world. Well, Seth Rollins could do that obstacle course twice. You know what I mean? So shut the fuck up. When it comes, so people say, like, well, why would they go ahead and why would they buy this scripted program? It makes a ton of sense because now things are within their control. If you have a down season, right, with baseball, like let's just say, you know, or football, this,
but maybe, like, that's what it is. Maybe it's Thursday night baseball.
Maybe. I don't know. But it's something that if they're having a down season, like last year was not considered a great year for the NFL, right? Baseball's having just a down year. If the NBA is having a down year, right? You got to kind of ride that thing out. You know what I mean? If there's a strike, you're screwed. If there's all these things, and if it's just a down year without a lot of stars, then it's just like, I hope you keep watching, but unless something drastically changes with the league or a specific team, it's never going to happen and people are going to stop watching. With this, if ratings start to decline or they feel like they're in a downward stretch, they just go to people that literally control the show and say, hey, pick it up, build a new star, make something different, change everything and do it right now. Because if the league, you know, if the best teams in the league start out 3-6 and they're out of the playoffs early, it's just like, shit, what's this season going to look like? Oh, my God. Wrestling can change on a dime right away on their terms. And the best thing about the whole thing with them is they've now got this show that comes with a built-in fan base. And like I said, you can now, like, don't you think that Major League Baseball would have liked to at any given time pull out the wild card of the Cubs win the World Series here?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't you think that around 100 years, whatever, maybe we do it in 2003, so we do Back to the Future. I don't care. But baseball, if they scripted this thing, would just go, it's time for the Cubs to win. It's a great story. There's a lot of money to get made on those shirts. Yeah. And now with WWE, they do that all the time. Daniel Bryan was the Cubs, and they scripted him to win. So I think what they did was give themselves some guaranteed programming.
Well, and, you know, all of those people that want to bitch and moan and kick and stamp their feet that it's not real sports, you're discounting. You got shut up the other day, right? Because Fox thought that it was worth $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. And SmackDown's
the B show.
Exactly. Not even for Raw.
The B show got $1 billion.
Exactly. That's why it's the B show now, because they made $1 billion.
Right. And that's...
You surprised by that?
I am surprised by that.
It's a lot of money.
I'm surprised by that just as somebody who has been watching this program for a year, where it's like, you don't put the manpower into this that you could have.
So I'm WWE, right? And I have a year to think about it and all that stuff, right? Fox might make some changes. We talk about how Fox could make some changes. Fox could say, we have our own commentators. We have our own cameras. We have our own filters. We have our own set. I don't know. That's what Fox might come in and do. What will WWE do? And by that, I mean something along the lines of, this is something that comes to mind. Is this time next year we're doing a shakeup and Roman Reigns goes over to SmackDown because they're about to head to Fox and they want to send the guy that they think is their biggest draw over to that show? Will things like that change? What will change?
I think so. I think you'll see a couple of people go over there to give a little bit of like oomph to the kickoff of it.
Cena.
You know, Cena is somebody that comes to mind right away.
Yeah.
You know, if Daniel Bryan was to win another world championship, maybe it corresponds with him going over to SmackDown as the world's champion.
Maybe.
You know, maybe you kick Brock Lesnar over there for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
Hear the latest rumors, by the way?
No.
The latest rumors are that Brock Lesnar is going to hold the championship until WrestleMania 35.
Holy God.
That's the latest report.
Lovely.
We'll talk about that a different time.
Yeah.
Even I don't like that.
That's
and
too
I
much.
Love Brock Lesnar.
When was the last time Brock Lesnar even showed up? When did we even talk about him?
I don't
Mania.
Mania.
The greatest Royal Rumble.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
Greatest Royal Rumble.
That was what, 2 weeks later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm
a huge Lesnar guy.
That's
and
a lot.
I hear that and I go, really?
That's like, a lot.
Yuck.
I'm not going to be the one to start the petition to end the championship reign. You know that. But even I.
Look, here's
I ask fans to be reasonable, right?
I'm trying
to be reasonable. That's a long time.
Right. But I'm also okay with, because WWE has proven, and we've debated about the Nikki Bella, John Cena, is it for TV? Is it not for TV? And that is what it is. But something that WWE actively did this past year and are capable of doing is working the fans through reports of that, because they worked us good when they told us all year that basically Roman Reigns, without saying it,
yeah, right,
Roman Reigns is going to beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then he didn't.
Yep.
So, yeah, you know what? If you start leaking reports out now that Brock Lesnar's going to hold this title till WrestleMania, if he loses it at, not Money in the Bank, but let's...
SummerSlam.
So, not even SummerSlam. Let's just say Night of Champions, right? All of it, it's like Brock Lesnar has no shot of losing this thing at Night of Flipping Champions.
Yeah.
He's going to hold the thing till WrestleMania. And Finn Balor shocks the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you also got a briefcase coming up.
You got a briefcase.
And, you know, it's a conversation for shows as we get closer to that pay-per-view, but I don't think we've had the last two.
No, we haven't.
Because Dean Ambrose held the briefcase for like 2 hours.
Well, because he had to get rid of it because of the shakeup.
Yeah, well, Ambrose?
Yeah, they were going to do the shakeup. So the briefcase, to just eliminate the messiness of like, can he do whatever, wherever champion he wants? What is it for? I don't know.
He should have just got drafted to Raw and brought the briefcase with him.
Right.
Or SmackDown and brought the thing with him.
Right.
That's the easiest thing to
do. You are absolutely right, but instead, we had to get rid of it because we were doing the shakeup.
Because we've blown everything with the Shield since breaking up the Shield, we had to do all three of them holding the title on the same night at some random Money in the Bank where you don't even feel like it's this cool memory like it could have been.
Well, and the worst part about that is that Roman Reigns wasn't a part of the build to that.
That's true as well.
And so that moment of Roman Reigns being the champion, losing to a returning Seth Rollins, only to be cashed in by Dean Ambrose, doesn't hit because the first part doesn't hit.
Yep. I'm with you. But the briefcase, because like, in again, it's a topic for another day, but I don't think we've had the last two.
No, we haven't.
Because Dean Ambrose, it was the same day, and then Baron Corbin walked around and then lost and didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Baron Corbin was going to win anyway, so.
Yay! Somebody did something.
All right.
I don't know. It hasn't popped up on my screen yet because I'm on a delay. But
is that what that
Catherine
is?
Catherine subscribed.
Oh,
yay. Welcome, Catherine.
Real quick before we move on to another topic, the SmackDown Live thing going to Fox, I wonder how that's going to affect shows like WrestleMania and Survivor Series and whatnot, because the way that they have it set up now, at least for the last year, they sell travel packages
right. That
sell tickets for NXT, the pay-per-view, Raw, and SmackDown Monday, Tuesday. Now, for WrestleMania, as it's constituted right now, the Hall of Fame is Friday night. NXT is Saturday night. And now you're going to switch it up so the ticket packages are the go-home for WrestleMania for SmackDown and the Raw after WrestleMania?
That's actually kind of cool.
So the short-term answer, so there's two parts to that. It's a good question. There's two parts to that. Yes, I think that the travel package will now be the go home SmackDown the Monday after Mania. There's just absolutely no chance that they're going to put on the premier event on Sunday and ask you to stick around for something 5 days later.
Well, no. Yeah, right, I wasn't going to say that.
So that is what you're going to get. You're going to get the SmackDown before. I don't know what to do with the Hall of Fame, though.
The easier answer and the more likely answer is that week SmackDown is taped. That's the most likely answer. Is this.
I would disagree with you because it's the last one before WrestleMania and the one we want spoiled the least.
No. So it's Raw SmackDown. So SmackDown that week
is taped that Tuesday.
Is taped that Tuesday. That's going to be the most logistical, make sense answer.
It could, or we could do something like SmackDown stays on Friday as is, bites the bullet that it was. But it was barely part of the WrestleMania weekend experience. You know what I mean? Barely. To me, WrestleMania is TakeOver, right. WrestleMania, Raw after. SmackDown after was barely part of it. And then what you do is you just say, yeah, you don't get that, but the Hall of Fame is now Friday afternoon. And
I don't think that if the Hall of Fame is going to be in an afternoon, it would be Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, maybe that's because, it then.
But it just so you don't have to disrupt the weekend, SmackDown's taped that week.
Maybe.
That's the one that logistically makes the most sense to me.
Yep.
And it's also
just one of the ones they want spoiled the least. You know what I mean?
The SmackDown after.
Yeah.
But again, it kind of falls into that camp of that Paul Heyman used to have, where it's like, if you heard that somebody returned on SmackDown, you're not going to skip it. You're going to now want to watch it.
Yep. You know, it's really just a matter of whether they want this debuts to be a surprise, because at least one NXT kid's going to show up, and it's a matter of whether they want. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know. I think they keep on rolling as is.
Maybe the other option is that particular Tuesday, SmackDown's live as a special engagement on that Tuesday.
Very possible as well. That's also
because Fox isn't going to start producing SmackDown. That's not going to happen in the sense of like them actually bringing in their own camera, lights, camera, action people.
I think that they aren't going to bring in like the stage people. They might bring in their own trucks. That might be something they want, at least a little control.
I don't think so, because
the USA's got a truck.
You're right. And so maybe it gets added, but it's not going to replace WWE stuff.
I know they didn't purchase SmackDown, like flat out purchase it. I just genuinely wonder if they do want to make it a little bit more of their own. Just a little bit.
So again, they didn't. So I'm trying to think of a sitcom that moved networks.
No, and I understand. It's just there's no sitcom where you can watch it twice in the same week on different places.
Family Guy. Family Guy, you used to be able to.
Yeah, but there wasn't a brand new live Family Guy on Monday.
Right.
And then on MTV, a brand new Family Guy.
Right,
there
but it, this is the closest that I can come to having. You had brand new that week Family Guy airing on Fox and on Cartoon Network, right? It was a part of Adult Swim and it was a part of that. So Cartoon Network didn't purchase. They purchased the rights to the show. They don't purchase the creative of the show.
Correct.
And so this isn't WWE. This is one of those times where it's less UFC and more scripted television, where they're not going to have the type of creative input that way. You know, like, yeah, the yeah, SAT no, truck.
I, yeah, for, I think they get zero creative input other than like what their channel guidelines are and restrictions and stuff like that. I just, again, it's just a network thing. Like I said, basically Fox and CBS put on the same football show, but you can tell if you're watching Fox and you can tell if you're watching CBS. I'm talking about literally something as simple of this is the color correction we use. This is because that's the difference with Fox. It's just like what camera they're at, like what f-stop their camera's on, because Fox always appears a little bit darker.
Right. Again, and they're not going to have that control because they're not going to have that production element in place of Raw. They're not going to replace any of the physical production of WWE.
Yeah, I just wonder if there's things aesthetically that here and there could change. Because I know that they just got the right to broadcast, but I don't think that they're going to want it to look like a blue version of the red show you watched a few days earlier on a different channel when I just paid $200 million a year. Like, I think they might want to put a little bit of, like, just a little bit of their own on it.
Right. And but I don't think, I don't think you're going to see that. I just don't.
I think it's going to look a little different.
I think WWE is going to put a little bit more effort in.
Oh, I definitely think that. I just think it could be something, like I said, as simple as the color correction. You know, you watch football on Fox, you slip over to CBS, and you know you're watching two different channels. It might be something as simple as that. Because they don't... Because I know the NFL doesn't bring... But the NFL has their own camera people and their own... So I don't know. I don't think it's going to be drastic. I don't think we're bringing back the fist, but I do think there's going to be something, I don't know. A Fox guy is the new third commentator instead of Byron Saxton adding nothing. It's going to be a Fox Sports guy sitting there adding nothing. Maybe you see stupid Colin Cowherd every once in a while throwing in his 2 cents because he's a Fox guy.
No thanks.
Something like that, because he's been seen backstage lately. So it's stuff like that that I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think if anything, there might be a little bit more integration on the other end with the Fox Sports stuff, where they'll start running the same type of stuff that Coach used to do with ESPN. But I don't think it's going the other way.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be drastic. But I think that we're going to see... just a little something that makes you go, okay, I can tell that Fox has touched this show differently than USA has. That's all I'm talking about. Again, whether it be we schlep out, instead of Renee Young backstage, it's some Fox guy. I don't know. I'm just thinking that we're going to see little things. Color grade stuff, little things. I mean, we don't know. It's a year and a half away. Yeah. But I think it's extraordinarily possible. And... I don't know. It's got to remain live. That's the biggest thing. Is people were talking about, well, is it going to get taped? There's no way that they paid
to tape it
$1 billion to tape the show. Like, that's not. There's spoiler culture is everywhere, and I just don't think that they paid for a taped program. They want a live sporting event. They want to be able to say that they're putting on a live sporting event and be in control of things as a live sporting event. So it has to stay live. That's the biggest thing that SmackDown has to do. The live part
has to be
Stay there. I'm surprised that SmackDown is worth $1 billion for 5 years, but what it also tells you is that WWE is in really good shape. You know what I mean? The WWE,
I think that the Greatest Royal Rumble did a lot for them in the sense of they're really a global brand, and this is global, and it's going to get eyes globally on Fox, you know, and it's going to get eyes globally on their network and everything. So, you know, I think that there's a lot good happening in this company.
Well, I think that people have really thought that
until they boot everybody off, where the 90-day policy won't let them be at All In.
Yeah, well, it has to happen at June 4th or something.
It is June 4th.
When cuts can happen so you can't work All In, which is exactly what they're going to be doing. I just think that people often like to say that the demise of WWE is close, or they're in big trouble, or they don't know what they're doing. And it's just like, look, nobody agrees with all of their creative decisions, and I don't like the way they manage their roster sometimes, too. I didn't like the segment with Bobby Lashley's stupid brother, sisters. There's a lot of things that I don't like, but at the end of the day, they're still making cash, lots of money. They're securing their future. The guarantee of a couple $1 billion coming in their way between what's going on with Fox, what's coming on with additional revenues. There's 2 million subscribers to the WWE network now. They're doing better than ever, and it's a testament to them as business people. You know, we did a Patreon show last week, and the show was, are we going to see WrestleMania 50? Are we going to see WrestleMania 75? Are we going to see WrestleMania 100? Well, there's no guarantees, but they're putting themselves in positions to be better off to see those major milestones.
Absolutely. You never know. You have to ask, because that we went into that conversation before the SmackDown deal was even rumored.
Right.
Right. And so that's what the market bared. SmackDown's rights came up. Fox said, I'll pay $1 billion for it. Vince McMahon didn't go, it's $1 billion. And everybody goes, no, thank you. If Vince McMahon said it's $1 billion and Fox said, okay, then that's what it's worth. And that's what that company is worth.
Brandon Banks, this was it. Fox just got Thursday Night Football.
Oh, wow.
So that's why Thursday didn't work. And that's why the schedule I saw Friday really rounded out their week.
Yeah.
And that's why Friday will be the day. And
interesting.
And if Fox got Thursday night football, then that cements it. Because people are going to say, well, it's only half the year. Yeah, but I'm not going to switch my programming 6 months at a time.
Right.
I'm not going to put SmackDown on Thursdays until football comes back and then move it to Fridays and ask you to keep remembering where I put the show.
Yeah, no.
It's a dumb idea to keep moving your show over and over again and expect people to know where to find it.
Yeah, it really is.
What a dumbass idea that is. And so it's a stupid idea to move the show
around.
That's
why I stopped watching Hawaii Five-0.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Okay.
Literally, that's why I stopped watching Hawaii Five-0. I couldn't figure out when it was because they kept moving it from Tuesday to Thursday to Monday to Wednesday to Thursday to Tuesday. And I'm like, I can't.
Here's the thing that interests the last point I want to make about the Fox picking it up, and then we'll get out of here. What's interesting to me about this, and I know that there's got to be out clauses and caveats and indemnification in the contract that prevents certain things from happening, right? There's no way that this is out of Vince McMahon's hands. But what's interesting to note about Fox is, with the exception of The Simpsons, they tend to be a very trigger-happy network with canceling shows.
Yeah.
This is a network that canceled Family Guy.
Twice.
And then everybody went, what the hell are you doing? And they had to bring it back. This is a show, a company that canceled Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and then NBC's like, what are you, stupid? We'll take it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I don't know why Fox seems to be so trigger-happy with canceling, but they are much, much more so than USA, who will basically play Law and Order forever.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to me, too. What are USA's expectations? What did WWE have to do to meet those expectations? Literally, I'm asking a question that might sound stupid, but can this show get canceled?
I don't think so, because I think you have to look at it in terms of what is the programming on Fox right now in the proposed time slot, 8 to 10 on a Friday, right? Do you have something that's, you know, I'm just going to use very small, very round numbers, right? But let's just say you know that 5,000 people are going to watch Friday Night SmackDown every Friday night. Is it better to know that you're going to get those 5,000 people every single week, or bring in two shows that might do 200 views each show, so 400 total watchers every week? Because SmackDown will bring people in to watch it that people might, like, it's more appointment television, because you're not going to put in a Brooklyn Nine-Nine in that time slot. And so, yeah, you might hang out at your buddies and have beers and watch SmackDown, but you might not watch, you know, this sitcom that we have at 8:30.
Yeah, I know that Friday night is safer for a sport than it is for, like, a traditional sitcom or something like that, where, because if it had to go on Thursday nights, if SmackDown was on Thursday nights and it's going up against whatever the hell NBC's running from 8 to 10.
The Voice.
You know what I mean? CBS is running from 8 to 10. All these shows, I think like literally even the New Jersey Shore is on Thursdays, and you might roll your eyes, but it's getting views. And so you're asking, you can only watch one thing at a time, right? And they care much more about live numbers than they do about DVR numbers. I would think that they, because it's Fox, there must be numbers in their head that WWE has to hit.
Well, there also has to be numbers that they looked at and said, SmackDown is doing X amount of numbers on Tuesday consistently. We are okay with that moving to Friday, and we think if it's further away from Raw, it might do better.
Sure. I'm just curious what happens if, let's just say, SmackDown hits a real slide like they did for the better part of the last year, right? There was a good 6 month stretch where SmackDown was really tough to watch. We could see it on Twitter, how few people were interacting. We could see it in our own Patreon chat, how about half the people that joined us on Mondays joined us on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And SmackDown was suffering. What happens if a trigger happy company, because like look at Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I don't know what its ratings were doing, but they were good enough for NBC, which I consider the quote unquote bigger entity, right? Yeah. NBC Universal over Fox. I looked at them and NBC goes, yeah, we'll pick up this show. Look at all these people that want it. Whatever the numbers are sufficient to us. And Fox was still able to let it go. Again, Family Guy, just able to let it go. Two different occasions, able to let it go. I'm not telling you that this show is bound to get canceled. I'm just curious because we have this conversation all the time. We did last week on the Patreon show, like I said, will WWE last forever? You want to say yes, but it's not a guarantee. It's not will the sun rise tomorrow. And so what do they have to do to keep Fox happy? It's probably different than USA.
Now, the real question is, because you're right, I do think that they do have a tendency to pull things very, very quickly. Again, I think that they looked at the numbers on SmackDown and on Tuesday nights and think that if it's separated, that will be better for it. Now, the question I have is Fox Broadcasting a part of the Disney deal? Because Fox is owned by 21st Century Fox, which is going to be bought by Disney.
Yeah, I don't know.
And so I know that Fox News is not a part of that deal, but I think everything else is.
I think the two things they didn't get were Fox News and Fox Sports. Wasn't that the two things
I
they
think
got?
That was it.
And
I
this
think,
was and this is going to be on like just regular old Fox, like right. Family Guy is Fox.
Yes.
So probably Disney does have it in there, probably kind of a little bit.
So now that changes the dynamic, right? Because now the parent organization isn't 21st Century Fox, it's the Walt Disney Corporation. And so those decisions go through Disney now.
Yep.
And so that changes the dynamic of that argument as well, which, you know, who knows?
Don't know if that is the chain of command. I don't know if, like, I'm sure the buck would stop at Walt Disney, but I don't know if it's just like, you know, Fox, you make these decisions. That's why we paid for you. If we decide to override those decisions or make an executive order toward you having to make a decision, but like maybe they just, I don't know the answers. These are just things to be curious about because I think a lot's going to change. And I think that SmackDown is going to become, at least next fall when Fox picks it up, a lot more interesting because they're going to need to put the effort behind it.
Right. I think that's the big thing. I think that there's going to be more.
It should also stay 2 hours.
Right. It should stay
2 hours as well. But good for them. I think it just shows that how WWE is not perfect, but they're doing well right now. And I think that SmackDown getting sold for way more than I thought. I mean, like, they got sold for $200 million a year when, you know, 20 years ago, the company would have been thrilled to be worth $200 million.
I know.
Let alone produce a show worth that a year. Yeah. I mean, that's remarkable. Are you doing late night, Liam?
Yeah, we're going to do something, a little something-something.
All right, so we are going to get on out of here, but before we do, now is your chance to become a Patreon. Go to patreon.com, search New Age Insiders. Everything you need is on newageinsiders.com, including the shirts. We have an awesomely fun new shirt. We love you, Flip, but it's coming out. We'll see it this weekend. The new Flip Gordon shirt, all-in shirt. You'll see it. You'll like it. We're going all-in. We're really excited. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we sign off and get out of here?
Thank you to everybody that subscribed on Twitch, donated on Twitch. We finally got those little fun little things going. So there's different GIFs and GIFs and different doodads that pop up now. So you're missing out on the experience if you're not watching live on Twitch at twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV.
Agreed. We're also on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all the wonderful places that you all go and spend your days. We are there. Tell your friends, like, comment, subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. We'll stick around. Don't go anywhere if you're listening live. Just keep it right here. The next time you'll hear from us will be next Wednesday because there's no pay-per-view this weekend, thank God. And we will catch up with you guys real soon. My name has been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stryger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter. And please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, Bill Neville NAI, the website newageinsiders.com. Shout out to the New Age Insiders Wrestling Network with DC and Doc, Chip and Damian, Matt McCool, and a whole lot more coming soon later this year. Download the New Age Insiders Pop Network with Scotty Slade and Jamie Jim Mikowski with For the Pops. Movie show, late night Liam, B Nerd, all sorts of fun stuff. B Herd's going to record soon. Get those questions in. It's one of the 5 exclusive shows you get for being a Patreon, and you also make us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.